Hello, this is your Polycast for Monday, October 20th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Dayton and Johnson debate, Minskew works on another tuition freeze, and the race for House seats in the Willmar area. A new KSTP Survey USA poll shows Governor Mark Dayton with a 10-point lead over his Republican challenger, Jeff Johnson. With just over 2 weeks left until Election Day, Dayton and Johnson used their fourth debate yesterday to sharpen some familiar criticisms about political philosophies, health care, and economic issues. They also offered competing ideas on guns and budget surpluses. Tim Pugmire has more.
The candidates squared off in a live television debate at Hamline University in St. Paul in front of a small audience of students and supporters. Johnson opened by pledging to stand up for the, quote, forgotten middle class, by lowering taxes and growing jobs. Johnson said if the state has a budget surplus, he would use that money to make changes in the income taxes, property taxes, sales taxes, and corporate taxes.
We are not competitive with other states in our region. We're certainly not competitive with the states that surround us, and you can go to any border community, and the people there will tell you that, and it's hurting Minnesotans, and it's hurting us from a job standpoint.
Later in the debate, Johnson said he had no clue how he would define a middle-class income. Dayton said he thinks the starting point is around $50,000 a year. Dayton said he wants to help the middle class by trying to lower property taxes during a second term. He said he would use part of any budget surplus to expand the state's child care tax credit.
So it includes more of the middle class working parents, as well as to increase the amount. So it keeps pace with the rising costs. It's something that I proposed in the last legislative session. Unfortunately, it was not adopted, but I would press for that.
Dayton and Johnson also highlighted their differing views on gun control. Dayton said requiring criminal background checks for online and gun show purchases would close what he described as a huge loophole.
We want to find out first if they're psychiatrically capable of handling that responsibility or if they have a criminal background, which should disqualify them. So why would we make that consistent statewide? I believe we should.
Johnson said he would oppose such measures. He said there are already enough laws on the books to keep people protected.
Going forward with new legislation and having this cultural war that we love to have about guns, I don't think that really benefits anyone in the end.
Both men said they own guns and have used them within the past year. They both agreed to continue the policy of allowing gun owners to carry weapons inside the state capitol building. Johnson took aim at Dayton with criticisms on his leadership, aspects of the Viking Stadium bill, the potential release of sex offenders, and the state health insurance exchange, MinSure. Johnson said health care in Minnesota has been sucked down to the national average under Dayton.
It's been an unmitigated disaster. And I know, Governor, you said that you don't lose any sleep over that, but I do, trying to figure out how we're going to fix that mess once I'm governor.
Dayton said MinSure is far from perfect, but he added that there are thousands who now have health care access that didn't have it before. Dayton criticized Johnson for offering few specifics about his budget plans, his admiration of Wisconsin Republican Governor Scott Walker, and his ties to the Tea Party.
You kept saying to Tea Party groups, I want your endorsement. And then when after the primary, you said, well, I never asked for their endorsement. So you got to take one position at the beginning of the year and stick with it all the way through.
This was the second time this month that organizers of a debate left out Hannah Nicollet, the Independence Party candidate for governor. Nicollet and some of her supporters protested that decision outside the event.
You know, there is no legal distinction between myself as a candidate and Jeff Johnson and Mark Dayton, since we are a major party in the state of Minnesota, so the excuses that we've been given for not being included are not valid.
Nicollet said she's also excluded from the campaign's final debate, which is scheduled for Halloween night on public television. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Trustees of the Minnesota State Colleges and University System are considering another undergraduate tuition freeze. Alex Friedrich reports.
The board will discuss the move this week as part of a two-year, $1.39 billion budget request to lawmakers. System officials say the freeze would save the average university student more than $200 a year and the average two-year college student $145 a year. But trustee Phil Krinke says he's worried the legislature might pay for the freeze at the expense of other inflation-related costs. Then it would be up to trustees to make up the difference.
So it's going to be cut classes, cut instruction, cut administrative costs.
The board is scheduled to vote on the request next month. Alex Friedrich, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Republicans need to win back at least 7 seats in the election to take control of the 134-member Minnesota House. Republicans and their allies are focusing on a relatively small number of races where they think they have the best chance of winning. In the Willmar area, candidates in two neighboring districts are locked in tight races. Catherine Richard reports.
It seems like just about everybody in this west central Minnesota town knows Mary Sawatsky and Dave Baker. Sawatsky is a Democrat. Baker is a Republican. 2 years ago, Sawatsky won a close race for state house, even as voters in the town chose Mitt Romney over Barack Obama for president. This year, Republicans say they have an ideal candidate in Baker. He's a local businessman who the party has been trying to convince to run for years. Baker says it was new tax and regulation policies coming out of St. Paul that finally prompted him to give it a go.
I want to invest in education. I want to see roads improve. And you can't get that unless you have a good, strong private sector jobs where everything begins.
For Baker, that means fewer regulations and a tax code that favors business growth. At Lulu Bean's coffee shop in downtown Willmar, Kathy Haldane is one of those people who knows Baker. She says even if she didn't, she would vote for him based on his platform. Haldane says she hopes Baker will make sure education money is spent responsibly. In her view, too much goes to administrators.
We have people that think that the schools need more money, and I don't think the schools need more money. I think they need to reevaluate what they're doing in the schools.
Meanwhile, Mary Sawatsky, who's a special education teacher, says in the legislature she streamlined special education records and worked to improve the state's mental health system. She pushes back on Republican criticism that the DFL legislature went too far when enacting their policies.
We are taking care of the people of Minnesota. We did not cut education. We provided all-day, every-day kindergarten.
So far, Baker has raised 3 times more money for his campaign than Sawatsky. Her funding gap is amplified by the fact that she voted against legalizing same-sex marriage and hasn't tapped a national network of generous donors as a result. Marlo Norum says he will support Sawatsky this year. He said she did the right thing by voting against same-sex marriage.
I would have been very disappointed if she had. That's one big thing that ticks me off on the governor. Otherwise, I feel he's done a pretty good job.
Liberal and conservative groups are spending big money in the Willmar race, and at this rate, it stands to be among the most expensive in the state. But these same groups are also pouring cash into a tight race southwest of Willmar between DFL Representative Andrew Falk of Murdoch and his Republican challenger Tim Miller. In this ad, the conservative Minnesota Jobs Coalition links Falk to the Affordable Care Act and the state's health insurance exchange, MinSure.
Representative Andrew Falk voted with Minneapolis liberals to bring Obamacare to Minnesota, and 140,000 Minnesotans lost their health insurance.
On a blustery October evening, Falk is visiting constituents in Murdoch. He said MinSure needs work, but that he's not worried the issue will break his campaign. In fact, Falk says agriculture comes up more often than MinSure does when he's talking to voters.
People are concerned kind of about the same things out here as they are everywhere else. They're concerned about schools and property taxes and the economy and safe roads and bridges.
Falk has represented the area since 2008, and he won it by nearly 8 percentage points in 2012. This all puts him in a relatively strong position. But Tim Miller says people here are fed up with high taxes and regulations that he says push businesses and jobs out of rural Minnesota.
There have been decisions that almost, say, prove to us that you can run a business under this set of rules, and businesses just don't work that way. And so they don't grow, or they move, or they just never develop.
It's a theme Republicans are using across the state in other races, and they're hoping people in rural Minnesota will respond in their favor on Election Day. Catherine Richard, Minnesota Public Radio News, Willmar.
And that's your Polycast for this Monday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.